Good morning, and welcome to worship from Second Presbyterian Church in Portsmouth, Ohio. My name is Allison Bauer, and I am the pastor here at Second Pres, and I am glad that you are joining us this morning. Particularly, I am grateful to Michael and Larry Stone and their family for sponsoring today's radio broadcast of our worship service here. It definitely takes a village to make a worship service, and I say this pretty much every week, and I am grateful again to the village here at Second Pres of Stan Workman and Justin Wiggett for the music, and then also to the Stone family for providing some guest reading and leadership of today's service. So we hope that you are blessed by what you hear in our worship, and that God comes close to you and meets you exactly where you are. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Please join with me in the call to worship. Followers of Jesus, by his cross we are redeemed from the futility of sin.
Hallelujah.
By his rising we are free from the fear of death.
Hallelujah.
By his love we are made new in the living and enduring word of God. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you hear our voices when we cry out to you. You have inclined your ear to us. Therefore, we will call on you as long as we live. O Lord, we are your servants, and we offer our lives to you as an offering of gratitude. You are the God who judges all people impartially according to their deeds. We confess our world is filled with corruption. Power disguises itself as truth, and selfishness imitates love. We confess to you and to each other that we are caught in the web of sin. Hear us in these next moments of silence as we confess our sins to you. Holy God, we are grateful for your promise of salvation in Jesus Christ. Remind us once again that we are forgiven, that we may live in peace with our neighbors. And now open the eyes of our hearts, like you did for the disciples on the road to Emmaus, that we may recognize your presence among us today, tomorrow, and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, you opened the meaning of the scriptures to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and set their hearts on fire. By the power of your Holy Spirit, kindle our hearts as we hear your word proclaimed, that we may receive you with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture reading today is from the letter of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Verses 17 through 23. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join with me in the responsive reading of Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 19. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications.
Because he inclined his ear to me,
therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life.
What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The little hills Jesus knelt, where all alone he prayed, the Garden of Gethsemane, my heart felt unafraid. I picked my heavy burden up, and with him by my side, I climbed the hill of Calvary. I climbed the hill of Calvary. I climbed the hill of Calvary, where on the cross he died. I walk today where Jesus walked, and felt him close to me.
Before we get to our final reading today, you'll notice that we're switching from John's gospel, which we've been reading the last couple of weeks, to Luke's. So I think we need to go back and read Luke's version of the resurrection. Now, just like any two eyewitness accounts, John remembers and emphasizes some things, while Luke focuses on others. So if we're going to read Luke's kind of part two of the resurrection story, it makes sense that we back up and listen to part one first. So here's Parker back again to read Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12.
But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now, our final scripture reading today is that part two I mentioned earlier from Luke's gospel, verses 13 to 35. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. Now on that same day, two of them, that is the disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The farthest I have ever walked at one time was 6 miles, and that was a complete accident. You see, before moving here to Portsmouth, I served a country church in western Pennsylvania, where I'm from originally, and there was a state park just down the road. So my dog and I spent countless hours and miles wandering all over the place throughout the park. And normally we would stick to familiar trails, but one fateful day I decided to try a new trail. So I pulled up the map of the park, though map reading is not one of my top 10 best life skills. But looking at the map, I could see that this one trail I didn't know would eventually connect with the trail I did know. It seemed pretty simple, so off we went on a new trail adventure. Well, I'm sure you know what's coming next. When I came to a split in the trail, I chose the wrong path and marched off in completely the wrong direction for 6 miles. Oh, and did I mention that cell coverage was very spotty in this part of the park? Now, I didn't wander for 6 miles and then suddenly realize I was lost. It was probably mile 3 or 4, though it was starting to feel like mile 33 or 34, that I thought, something is definitely wrong here. And I suppose, you know, we could have just turned around and retraced our steps, but, oh, did I mention that it had thunderstormed the day before and that my dog and I had barely made it through the mud the first time? going back through another 3 miles or 4 miles of mud was not very appealing. So in that moment, I stopped and I stood still and I thought, what should I do now? And I think that's the exact same question the two disciples were asking themselves as they walked that 7 mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus on the evening of Easter. What should we do now? I mean, they didn't ask it literally, or at least Luke doesn't include that detail in the story, but he does say that Cleopas and the other disciple, who's not named, they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Meaning the empty tomb and the women's testimony about the angels who told them that Jesus had risen from the dead. Testimony, I might add, they considered an idle tale and did not believe. Frankly, I can't think of a better question for those two disciples in that situation than to ask, what should we do now? Now, geographically speaking, they seem to know where they're going. They're on the road to Emmaus. But spiritually speaking, they're utterly lost without Jesus, like a ship without its captain or an orchestra without its conductor. Luke doesn't tell us why they're on this 7 mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, only that somewhere along the way they meet Jesus, though their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he tells us that when he asked them, what are you discussing with each other while you walk along, they stood still, looking sad. Now let me tell you, in that muddy moment on that new trail, when I was asking, what should I do now, I stood still too. Probably also looking pretty hopeless and sad. Isn't that what we do when we get lost? We stand still. We hesitate. And we may even start off in one direction only to turn around again, wondering maybe if we should go the other way. Cleopas and the unnamed disciple are stuck, at a loss of what they should do next, even as they travel down the road to Emmaus. The map they had been following seems to have come to a dead end. Perhaps they're returning home, tails tucked between their legs. We don't know. We only know they're lost, stuck and standing still, and asking, what should we do now? It's a curious detail that one disciple is named while the other is not. It's almost as if Luke is inviting us to step into the shoes of that other disciple and to imagine ourselves in the story. So let's do that. Let's try to imagine we're in an incredibly difficult situation, feeling very lost and uncertain about what next week is going to look like. And we're never even going to be able to picture what it's going to look like 1 month from now. And maybe we're even feeling a little disappointed in God, who seems to have completely forgotten about us. It's not much of a stretch to imagine, is it, given our current circumstances? Even the least imaginative among us knows what it was like for Cleopas and the unnamed disciple to be standing there that day, stuck and lost and sad. You know, the more I think about it, the more I realize this is actually a pretty good image of what it's like sometimes to be a follower of Jesus. It can be a little helpless and maybe even a little hopeless. It happens to the best of us. You know, knowing Jesus and loving Jesus isn't some cosmic get out of jail and or trials and tribulations free card that means we won't ever suffer or struggle again. It's quite the opposite, actually, because where are we most likely to find Jesus when we read the Bible? Among those who struggle and suffer. So to follow Jesus is to go where he would go. And that means being a Christian isn't always sunshine and roses. And even when Jesus shows up right in front of their faces, the disciples' eyes are kept from recognizing him. Just like Mary Magdalene is kept from seeing that it was Jesus when she was talking to the gardener in John's gospel. Ecclesiastes 3 reminds us, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Perhaps this is a time for the disciples to just be still and lost for a little while. A time to process and to wonder over all that they had seen in the last 72 hours. A time to practice trusting that God is in control, even when it doesn't feel like it. A time to stop and carefully ask, what should we do now? Instead of just blundering forward into the uncertain future like a drunken bull in a china shop. So here's the good news in the middle of this mess. Jesus shows up and meets the disciples right where they are. You know, that's a runner in the gospel story. Just when somebody has given up all hope, Jesus shows up. And I love the little head fake in this story. So Jesus shows up on the road to Emmaus asking an innocent, but not really innocent, question about what the disciples are talking about. So they fill him in on everything that had happened. They're astonished that he doesn't actually heard this story for himself. Then he begins to explain to them why the things happened the way they did. So they're having this big conversation. Who knows how many miles down the road they have wandered together. And so when they arrive at Emmaus, Luke tells us that Jesus gives them a little head fake and he walks ahead as if he were going on to the next place. Or maybe it wasn't a head fake. Maybe he really would have kept on walking if they hadn't stopped him. In the end, I'm not sure that it matters, because something made them reach out to him. Who knows if it was curiosity or hospitality or just this sense of duty that now that they had arrived in Emmaus with the stranger, they should invite him in and give him something to eat and maybe a place to stay. I don't think it matters how half-heartedly or enthusiastically we reach out to Jesus. Especially in those moments when it feels like we're just barely hanging on. What matters is that we make the effort somehow. What matters is that suddenly Jesus is there. Jesus shows up, and I think it's so beautiful that their eyes are opened as they watch him take the bread, bless it, break it, and to give it to them. It's this beautiful echo of the Last Supper, which was possibly the very last happy memory they had of Jesus. And once their eyes are open, they start to connect the dots. They connect the dots from the supper table to the garden, to Pilate's palace, to the cross, to the grave, and now to them here at Emmaus. So this is the good news, that out of confusion comes clarity, and out of despair comes understanding. This is the good news, that a season of weeping will end eventually, and a season of laughing will take its place. The good news is that for as helpless and hopeless as it sometimes feels to be a follower of Jesus, we have the blessed assurances of Scripture that he always, always, always shows up and makes a way where there seems to be no way. And perhaps the best news for us today, right now, is that being stuck is not the end of the story. So if you are feeling stuck today and wondering, what should I do now? Know that this is not the end of your story. This is not the end of your story, because when we are stuck, Jesus shows up. And when we invite him into our lives, he will open not just our eyes, but also our hearts, which is this wonderful, amazing thing, to know not just the bewilderment of the disciples standing still and sad on the road to Emmaus, but to understand their astonishment at seeing the risen Jesus, and to understand why, immediately after all this happens, Luke tells us that they turned right around and went back that 7-mile journey to tell their friends the good news. But I gotta warn you, open hearts are often broken hearts, because open hearts welcome and invite in the pain and the brokenness of others in order to be an instrument of God's love and God's peace and God's healing and God's compassion for others. It's not an easy gig. Being a follower of Jesus is not for the faint of heart. And it means we're still gonna feel stuck pretty often. But I'm starting to think maybe that's the point. If faith was always easy, if belief was always easy, if following Jesus and loving as Jesus did and serving as he did, if all that was easy, we'd probably start to think that we were the God of our lives, not Jesus Christ. So now, after all this time spent standing in the shoes of this anonymous disciple in today's story, I'm starting to wonder if maybe the times when we feel stuck the most are actually God's way of preparing us for what comes next. Because the what comes next for the disciples is beyond anything they could have imagined. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Steve.
Please join with me in the affirmation of faith. This is the good news that we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved, if we hold it fast. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared first to the women, then to Peter, and to the 12. And then to many faithful witnesses. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is our Lord and our God. Amen. Let us pray. O risen one, like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, we struggle to recognize you in the everyday journey of our lives. We seek your wisdom in the midst of the questions we have about the circumstances we find ourselves in, circumstances pretty often beyond our control and sometimes of our own making. Especially we think of the global pandemic in which we are living and how our lives and maybe even our faith has been turned completely upside down. Open our eyes, light of the world, to your work of transformation in and around us, and the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we walk with you day by day, may your new life be made manifest in what we say to others. Help us to understand the power of our words to hurt or to heal. Give us the graciousness to make all our conversations holy. As you opened the scriptures to the disciples and taught them everything, open our eyes to behold you in your word, in the beauty of nature, the beauty of another human being, and the beauty of sacred art, especially in this time when we are feeling so unconnected and untethered. Ground us in you and in beauty. And in our seeing, help us to recognize and welcome the stranger in our midst. We pray for the strangers who have become known to us in this coronavirus crisis. May our welcome to them be a celebration of the gifts and graces of persons who are different from us, and not merely just some token tolerance of an outsider. You were known to the disciples in the breaking of the bread. May your resurrection presence guide us in the decisions we make about what we take into our bodies, especially what we eat and what we drink. Help us to understand our eating and drinking as sacred events, not to be abused or approached mindlessly, something so many of us are struggling with as we stay at home. So often we forget, Holy One, that you invite us to abide with you, to have our lives hidden in you. We thank you that you travel with us in our daily lives and listen to our joys and our concerns, particularly those we lift up now to you from the quietest corners of our hearts. Thank you for coming to us in unexpected places and in the midst of our doubt and fear and sorrow. You are a friend to us when we are alone and lonely. Unseen, you are there. Give us your peace that transcends all our understanding, that we may be peacemakers in your name. And now hear us as we pray the way the church has prayed for generation after generation. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Of triumph sing. For the Lord now liveth, death hath lost its sting. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son, and this is the victory thou o'er death hast won. No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is not without thee, aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son, and this is the victory thou o'er death hast won.
And now, as you get ready to face whatever comes your way this week, remember to be strong and courageous, knowing that the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid. Instead, be of good courage and know that you are loved. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. Please call up a neighbor and pass them the peace of Christ. Thanks again for listening to this Sunday morning worship service. I'm grateful that you tuned in. If you'd like to find out more about Second Pres, you can find us on social media. We have a Facebook page and an Instagram account. You can also check out our website, which is www.secondpres.org. If you have a joy or a concern that you would like us to keep in prayer, you're welcome to give us a call, 740-353-4159, or shoot us an email at secondpres@yahoo.com. We would love to hear from you and hope that you have been blessed in our worship service today. Also, while our building may be closed, the mission and ministry of Second Presbyterian Church continues. So if you'd like to support us, we would greatly appreciate that. Donations can be mailed to our church at 801 Waller Street in Portsmouth, Ohio. Or if you visit our website, we have a giving page and you can give online. Thank you.